All right. The read this was the Sedra of Chayasara. And at the beginning of the Sedra, Sarah Imenu dies. And Avram begins to secure his portion in the land of Israel. It's actually the first acquisition of land in Eretz Yisrael by a Jew. That's Marta Machayla in Hebron. The land then grips us, and from thereafter we remain in a tangible way, not just through the promises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or the covenant, but in a tangible way connected to Eretz Yisrael. So how does Avram go about acquiring this land? So let's look at that, and we'll branch out into related and I hope interesting areas. Vayakom Avraham me'al p'nei meiso, vayedaber b'nei ches p'emor. Avram begins to mourn for Sarah. It's Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, at the beginning of the Sedra. He rises and he speaks to the children of Ches, the b'nei Ches. Ger v'soshol v'anofi imochem. I am a stranger and a resident. A stranger meaning, as of now, I have no inherent rights, because rakhanani oz v'aret. But a toshav, a resident in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised the land to me. Tenu liachuzas kevri mochem ve'gura meisim ilfanoi. Grant me, tenu means to give, grant me, give me a burial place, an estate for a burial site amongst you, imochem, and I will bury my dead before you, or from before me, ilfanoi. He asks, tenu li. They answer him, listen to us, our master. Your Prince of God in our midst. In the choicest of our burial plots, you should bury your dead. None of us will withhold his burial place from you to bury your dead. Avram asked, Tenuli, give it to me. And they said, we will give you the best of the plots that we have. So Avram makes a request. And he says, Pasuk says, wait a day, tell me more. In Yechis Napsichem, which Boris may seem a little annoyed. And once they ratify the initial approach, he bows to them by way of confirmation. And then he says, if you can, so please intercede for me with Ephron ben Sochar. Avram had his eye on a particular plot, measures and the Zohar comments on why that is. It's not our topic today. Once a Marat Machpelah. The Tenlius Marat Machpelah Shalom Ashevik Sechadehu. Give me Marat Machpelah, the double cave. That's what it literally means. Ashevik Tzeisadeh, it's at the corner of the field. The Chesef Malei Yitnen Ali B'Sofachem L'Achuzas Kaveh. Granted to me for a full price in your midst as a burial plot. Why did you call Maris Machpelah? Agavurcha. So we all know the Rashi says, the Medrash says that it's a reference to the couples that are buried there, the four couples. In addition to the Avos and Imos, say, Rachel, Adam and Chava are also buried there. That also drew Avram to the site. Just by way of an interesting explanation of Maris HaMachpelah, the Gemara's Machlokes, why it's called double. Whether it's a cave on top of a cave, one on top of the other, or a cave side by side. That's the Machlokes the Gemara has. So the question always was, what kind of machlokas is it? Because it's something that can be verified. Is it side by side, or is it one top on bottom? Noam Arnon, who is the spokesman and the head of the Jewish community of Hebron, told me once that he was in a very small group. So the cave Jews have not had access to that cave for many centuries. Indeed, we could not even enter the cave of Machpelah, the building itself, from 1267, when the Muslims wrested it back from the Crusaders, until 1967, exactly 700 years. But even with that, you couldn't enter the cave itself. The places where the cenotaphs are not really the graves. The graves are under the building, obviously, towards the side. But he did, with a small group, the Arab guard who guarded the area, they put him to sleep somehow, and they got a little girl to go down, and they were able to get down there. And in fact, what he saw is that there's no machlokes in the Gemara. There are caves side by side, and those side by side caves are on top of another cave. You see, Elu ve'Elu divril kinkayim. It's a double cave, literally a double cave, side by side with a wall in between, and then another cave, a full cave, the same length right underneath that. It's really the same. That's Marcha Machpela. So Avin says, give it, and he says he'll pay money for it. The Ephron Yosef the Sof Menechais. Ephron is sitting in the midst of the Menechais. Vayan Ephron Achitius Avraham was Nei Menechais. Note the Torah's language here. Ephron answers Avraham. So Aznei Menechais, in the hearing of the Menechais. L'chol bo'i sha'ariro, for all who come to the gates of this city, le'mor, saying, Lo Adoni Shmoeni, that my Lord, listen to me. Hasodeh nosati loch, I've given you the field, the hamne'ara sherbo, and the cave that's in it, l'chonis satiyo. I've given it to you. Notice, Avram first asked the cave, then he asked for a field, once he's offered money for it. He said, I'll give it to you. Le'enei v'nei ami, in the view of the children of my people, nisati Allah, I've given it to you. Kvar me'sechol. Bury your dead. So, just like Avram asked the B'nai Chais to give it to him, and they said, we'll give it to you. So too, he asked Ephron to give it to him. He said, I'll pay money if you want. And Ephron answered, I'll give it to you. So he stopped Avraham. L'snei, Amoret, Avram bows down again in ratification of their agreement. Vayidaber l'Ephron b'znei Amoret b'mor, achim atalu shmei, Avram persists. Nosati ketef ha-sodeh kach mimeni. Bekorot nisi shoma. Let me pay for it. And you know, we have these dialogues occasionally in our world too. I'll give it to you. No, I want to pay for it. I'll give it to you. No, I'll pay for it. Vayan Ephron es Avram b'mor lo. Avram insists, and Ephron then answers, Adoni shmoeni. Eretz arba me'ot shekel kesef b'nir ben chomahi. A land that's worth 400 silver shekels. What's money between us? That's my chokhizor. By Yishma Avram el Ephron. Now look at the pasuk. Avram listens to Ephron. By Yishkol Avram le Ephron. It's a kesef asher diber bo zmei v'nechez. He doles out to Ephron the money that was spoken about. Arba me'ot shekel kesef over la socher. 400 silver shekels over la socher of negotiable currency. So something happens here. The terms change. Avram offers money. Ephron says, Avram yo shekel kesef, 400 silver shekels. And then Avram pays 400 silver shekels over la socher of negotiable currency. That means, as the Gemara says, and Rashi says here as well, shenotal mimenu shkolim gedolim. He took super shekels, meaning large shekels. At first he asked for simple shekels, then he asked for a shekel gadol, a ver la socher, which simply means coins that can be utilized as currency in any country. Not just where they were, but it's accepted across the world, which is a more valuable shekel. How much is that shekel worth? So that shekel, a ver la socher, is 2,500 of the regular shekel. So Avram went from paying 400 regular shekels to a million regular shekels, an equivalent, which was an exorbitant sum. That's what Ephron did. Now note another change in the pasuk. It says, Vayishma Avram el Ephron. Ephron is spelled Maloi with a Vav. But Vayishkol Avram el Ephron, he then pays Ephron. Ephron is without the Vav. The Rashi says, Choser Vav. He's missing his Vav. The Vav was deleted from his name here. Lefisha Omar Arbei Vafilu Ma'at Lo Asa. He goes, what's that? Rashi 16, Tes Zayin, that he spoke very, in very expansive terms, spoke a lot. Vafilu ma'aklo also, he didn't even do a little. Shenotam imenos shalim gedolim, shem kinterim. He took kinterim, literally, it's an old coin called a centarium.
A centurion was means 100, obviously, but valuable. Each one was worth 100 money. Rashi says here, Over la socher, can establish the shekel b'chol makom. He accepted, it's accepted in every place. Every place. Okay. He said first, Arba mayot shekel kesef, seinim in chamahi. Just give me 400 silver shekels. That's to the end of Pasuk Tezvot. And then in Pasuk Tezayin, when he actually pays it, he pays Arba mayot shekel kesef over la socher. Because that's what was demanded. Let's see. Right. That's what the Gemara says, and Rashi says he quotes the Gemara about the Mitzvah that pays Zayinim and Aleph. That we show him Omrim Harbe Vasilu Ma'at Einam Osim. They speak a lot, they don't even do a little. Menolon Me'afron Me'korok Siv. At first it says Arba Eretz Arba Mio Shekel Kesef, a land that's worth 400 silver shekels. Ulavasov Siv. By Yismael ben Melafron, by Yisrael ben Melafron, it's like Kesef Shekel, Arba Mio Shekel Over La Sofer, so Shachar Mineel Kintari. He demanded a certain type of shekel, which was a much more valuable shekel than the common shekel that was used. We don't really have that anymore in our day, but in the ancient world, really through the Roman times, actually I shouldn't say that, through medieval times, but as long as coins were used, coins were evaluated based on their condition. Now it's only in terms of coin collectors that they're more valuable. You know, a new coin, a shiny coin, a coin with clear features. The numismatists among you will know that, the coin collector. But in the ancient world, a coin which was rubbed out had less value. And the more rubbed out it got, until it was completely effaced, it would have no value at all. So the newer coins, the clearer coins, the larger coins, were the coins of value. Value was not just a denomination, value was condition of the coin. Here he asked, essentially, for perfected coins. That was Ephron Hafiti. Right. Why Ephron? So Chazal say Ephron without the vav in gematria is ra'ayin. What's ra'ayin? Miserly. Ra'ayin. He was a miser. He was greedy. Now that the fragment that I read to you from the Gemara that Rashi quotes here is actually the second half of what the Gemara says, which is the other topic we'll get to. Mikasha tzaddikim omrim ma'at v'osim harbeh. The tzaddik, as opposed to the rasha. The rasha speaks a lot and does little. The tzaddik speaks very little and does a lot. How do we know that? That's last week's sedra. From Avram Avinu. Because at the beginning of the sedra, Avram is greeted by these wayfarers who come. Three people appear at the door of his tent, one of the doors, and he says to them, Vayomer, Adonai masotzi imlo masotzi chayim b'inecho, al nosavar me'odecho, don't leave, you kachunom me'at mayim, rachatzu raglechem, take a little water, ma'at mayim, and bathe your feet, and rest against the tree, ve'chof haslechem, v'sadu l'bchem, and I'll prepare some bread for you, a little bread, and you'll eat, achar tavoru, then you'll leave. So what did the Avram offer his guests? Water for their feet and a little bread. Pas lechem. But when he begins to fulfill the mitzvah, Chanasas Arachim, Vayemaher Avram Ma'olo Vayomer, he runs to the tent. Mari, Shalosh Sim Kemach Solas, Lucy Vasil Gosh. To bake bread, take fine flour, make breads and cakes. Then Al Bakar rushes over him and he runs to his cattle. Vaykach ben Bakar rach batov. He took cattle, saw the choices. Vaymaher lasososo. And he vaykach shemavi cholov. He took butter and milk. Uven Al Bakar asheroso. Chazal notes here. You see how he served them. While he's preparing the meat, he gave them butter and milk, because you could eat, of course, milk before meat, candies afterwards. So he gave them first some other chalav. They had that, and by that time the bread was ready. And then he gave the ben abakar Chazal say, among the choice offerings, he gave them a tongue in mustard, like a deli roll. That's what he offered them. And he stood there and watched them eat. So tzaddikim, the Gemara says in the Mitzvah, about Tezayim and Aleph, Mikan should tzaddikim omri ma'atlo simar beri. We see from here that tzaddikim, they say very little, but they do a lot. All Avram offered was a little bread, and gave him a whole meal, four courses. Whereas Rishoyim, omrim harbei, afilu ma'at einar mosim. Rishoyim, they say very, very much, but they don't even do a little. Now this, of course, is familiar to all. By the way, I want to mention, I happen to say at the Shulchan Aruch in the Shabbos, it's a nice idea, I guess it relates to this also somehow. Avram offered this big meal. Then these malachim went to Lot, and he offered them what? Matzah. That's it. What about the meal? No. He just gave, you can eat on Pesach too. We eat big meals on Pesach. No, he only offered the matzah. Why? So the Tosefta's bracha explained that you could tell a lot from the menu. You see, the two approaches people have to get. One wants them to come and stay, and one wants them to come and go. All right? Lot wanted them, or let's say Avram. Avram wanted his guests to stay. So he chose foods that required preparation, some time. To bake, they have to grind the flour, bake the bread, shack the animal, cook it, roast it. Whatever Avram did, and Sarah, of course, that took time. He wanted his guests to stay. But, like was just said, what did Lot do? He offered a matzah. Pesach oil. How do we eat on Pesach? It's b'chipazon. It's in haste. Because matzah is a food. Lo yochlus mamea. There's no time to tarry in Egypt. What's that? They didn't care. He had them in. But there's two approaches. Not to care is not to let them in altogether. But to care and give them matzah means you want them in and out. You don't want them to. It's the form. The form of Hashanah Pesachim. What's that? Ray was a conflicted person. But that's Bayera. We want to move forward. We're progressive religion. Alright, anyway, that's what the Sefer Krucha said. It all depends on motivation. Now, this statement of the Gemara Bava Metzia, of course, is very familiar to us from Pirkei Avos. In Perek Aleph of Avos, Mishnah Yisrael, Shammai, the great Shammai, the contemporary of who was Zakein, Shammai said, Shetara Fakeva, fine, and more ma'at v'tzei harbeh. You should speak very little and do a lot. Rabbi Makabel called them to say the point of the Alphas, and greet people with a pleasant countenance. The Rambam says here, they just put to tomorrow. The Rambam explains, what does it mean, and more ma'at v'tzei harbeh? Sadikim omer ma'at osim harbeit avram avinu. So you are the paslecha machas. He promises guests just one loaf of bread. Bevi chemo cholov ben abakor shlotzim kema solas who rishoyim omer marbeit afilu ma'at einam osim. Rishoyim, they say a lot and they don't even do a little. Ke Ephraim shenosan akol bedvarov, that he spoke very, very elaborate terms. Who ben maaseh but when it came down to it, he did not even forego even a pruta from the exorbitant sum of money that he requested, that he demanded from Avram Avinu. The question is why? I mean, what does it mean in Mor Ma'at Vashrei Harbeh? What's the maila? What would be wrong with a tzaddik saying a lot and doing a lot? In other words, say what you're going to do. Period. Say what you're going to do. Why is it a milah to say little and do a lot?
Yes.
That's true. So you apologize. And also, let me ask.
Yes,
but that's correct. But it's almost a separate dimension. Fulfillment of the word. You see, Ephraim did not fulfill his word. Right? He spoke in very broad terms. And that's the other side of the question. Why do we say the Rasha is Omer Hadei, Vasilu Ma'at Eina Osha. Why is that true? Why can't the Rasha Omer Hadei, he'll pray a lot, and he'll do a little. That would be the reverse, by the way. And Mor Ma'at Vasre Hadei, speak little, do a lot, versus and Mor Harbe Vasre Ma'at, speak a lot and do a little. No, that's not the equation. The equation is that Mor Ma'at Vasre Hadei is a tzaddik, and the Rasha is that Mor Hadei Va'afilu Ma'at Eina Osa. He doesn't even do a little. Why should that be? Well, the Rasha can't do a little for someone. What are we saying? With that, yes. Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, they saw that Avram was also running around providing the food for them. Granted, as Chazal say, he urged all of them to be mevarech to the one who's the source of everything, but nonetheless, they're beholden to him in the sense that he is providing for them. You correct? Yes. Oh, that's right. Sorry, doing the cooking. That's correct. Right. You don't want to know this, but Torah he, and we have to learn it. The Gemara says in Bamitzia, right before this, that, right after this. Ksit Kemach u Ksit Solas. Omer Yitzchak, Nikam Tehisha Ksora Einer Ba'orcham Yotzen in Arish. That women are usually a little slightly more grudging when it comes to guests than men are. Why? They have to do the work, that's right. That's right. They're the ones, you know. The man can invite and invite, and, you know, tell the wife, we're having 10 guests. I'm such a good machmas lareach, me, all right? So you have to buy more food and cook more food. So that's why. Because the Torah says, Lucy Vasil goes, all right? The bread wasn't yet there. In the end, she didn't bake the bread. She felt the baked bread. She didn't do it. You want bread to your guests? Go to the store and buy some. I have other things to do. All right. So that's the basic question. What's this principle? This Maila of Emor Mat Vasrei Habe, and I'll say something else also. A very interesting and somewhat difficult to understand comment of Rabbeinu Yonah here in Pirkei Avos. What is the source of this? So we see the source of this quality of Emor Ma'at Vasrei Habe as Avram, the Gemara says. Rabbeinu Yonah says in Pirkei Avos, all right. Kishetatiach es chaver cholasos bavurot shum davar emor lo ma'at vashelo harbe. When you promise your friend to do something for him, promise very little and then do harbe, more than that. V'hu miderech hamusa v'chassidus. It's the way of ethics and piety. V'lo madnu me'avram avinu. Then he goes through the whole story. Fine. V'hi midas el yonos. It's a very lofty trait. Rabosenu zal lindua mechadish baruch hu yisparach. Our sages learned this out from God. Shalotiyach elu b'shtei osios. That God promised the redemption to the Jewish people with just two osios, two letters. That would be back in Lech Lecha, when God told Avram that there'll be slaves, sons, right? God told Avram that there'll be slaves in another land, Arbam Yashana, the Gamet Hadoya Sheyavodu Don Anochi, and even the nation that's there, Don, I will judge them. That's what God said. Two letters, one word, Don. All right, and what actually happened in Egypt? So that's what Torah mentions. Uge'olam, I'm continuing Rabbeinu Yonah, Uge'olam b'sheva v'etzer milos. He redeemed them with 27 words. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Vashanon, O Hanisa Elokim Lavo, much is saying, have you ever seen an experience like this? That God went, Lavo, Lokachas, Logoi, Mikerav Goi, the Matzos, Tosos, Umosim, Umuchomor, Yot Hazrako, Zemitriyot, etc. Alright, all God says to Avram, done, I will judge them. But in fact, when it happened with Osos, Umosim, Niflos, Umuchomor, Yot Hazrako, Zemitriyot. Again, it seems, Emor Ma'at, done, Aseh Habei, Osos, Umosim, etc. Okay. I don't know if the comparison is necessarily the same. It's not really an apt analogy, but you have to understand that. What's even more interesting than that, as if that's not interesting enough, is the continuation of Ben Yonah. Zal Ze Omar Psagigon, Zal. And on this point, the Psagigon, who lived almost 12 centuries ago, said at that time, if all God did was promise our fathers this redemption, the two letters, done. Also, Lehem Kama Nisim Dinit Loz, and he did to them, our forefathers, so many miracles and wonders, Al Hagu'ula Ha'asida Lozo, about the redemption, which is going to come in the future. Shemichdibu Kamot Dafin, the Kamot Kundrasin, the Kamot Svarim, about the Gu Hasidah. You see in the words of the prophets, so many pages, so many texts, so many books filled, Me'atachos, the promises, the Kamenechomos, how many consolations, the Yirmiyo, the Nevi'im, in Yirmiyo and the other Nevi'im, Halachas Kama Zekama, even more so, Kinyiflo Yu Masov, Yimashe Tiach Natsena Yadas Mod, that the wonders that will take place through Asida will exceed even more proportionately, disproportionately, the wonders that took place in Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Yeslo La'odom L'das L'chase B'davar, if a person has to notice and he has to contemplate it, consider it, the L'chase Asribon, take to heart, Yishchar Gado Yelo Mitzrayim Tachos, that there will be a great reward waiting us because of all of these promises. I tell you, it's hard enough to understand the first point, that what is it, what's the analogy between Avram and Mor Ma'at and Aseh Harbei, Sakharish Baruch Hu and Mor Ma'at and Aseh Harbei. But that's the limit Chazal had. God said, Don Anofi, I'll judge them, done, and then it was Nisim in the flow, such as the world has never seen before. And then Rav Sajigon added, and you see, if the first gula took place and God said one thing, done. This the gula Siga, which has reams and reams of material, of promises, of the glories of the future. Yirmiyo, Yechezkel, Yishayo, the Treyosar, the Chulei, Allah has come as a Kama, the Nisim and Niflos, that'll take place in the future for us. Kineshloim yiyu masav mimasev tiach nasenedas mod. That his deeds will be even more wondrous than before. So what does this mean? And of course, the real question is, what does it mean more wondrous? How do you get more wondrous than the Nisa that took place in the sky? I mean, I don't think there's a limit to miracles, but what could be greater than those miracles? What? I can't even imagine it. You had the Makos, you had Kriyas Yamsuf, you had the Mon, Maimon HaSinai. I mean, what should be greater than that? It's hard for us to contemplate. So what exactly are we talking about? Yes. Some idea what's going to be, you know, Ein Bein, no one was ever Moshe Mashiach or Shiva Malchus Bovad, will no longer be subservient to the nations of the world. All right, if we can imagine what that state is like.
Well, we don't really know how great it is. We didn't want to put this Yes.
Yes, it's true. That's true. But I would ask you then, I don't want to accept anything after this, so I would ask you. That we know. I would ask you then, how could it be greater than you feel for science? I mean, that Gula, we're not getting any Torah, so that Gula took us out of slavery, of the base of Odin, gave us a Torah.
Yeah.
That's true, but then they went out to Israel, right? So they had everything. They had Kairos, they had Torah, they had Israel. So Abbasira, it's true, we lost it. But in terms of great, we're not getting a new Torah, we're not even getting the Torah a second time, so how could anything be greater than that? You have your Sias Mitzrayim and Maimon Har Sinai. So what could possibly be greater than that? Yeah, but you know what? You had that off. You did Mitzrayim, lower level, but who knows what the nations of the world accept. No mogul call you to keep following the muscle of Tachad. They go Zorchi Mukhazan. Right? No mogul for those say Canaan. Canaan, Christian, all the nations of the new of Yeshua's Mitzrayim. Because the Chazal say all the waters in the world divide at the time. Everybody knew about it. They were frightened of the Jewish people. And maybe they didn't have to draw the right conclusions from it, but they all knew about it, and they're all aware of what's happening. But we're thinking that it'll be that much different. I'm sure there'll be naysayers in Yom HaShoah Mashiach too, amongst the Jews too, not just amongst the nations of the world. So we have to understand, and it's a very powerful, profound message. What's that to be greater? It's the same, it's different, but greater. You have the Yeshiva Mitzrayim, and you have the Torah, and you brought out Yisrael with all the miracles. What's greater than that? Yeah. It's just that that's not a physical world. That's it. That's the Nevi'im Mashiach. That's right. Because the Nevi'im only spoke about, the Nevi'im Mashiach. But Olam Haba, I am a Russell Kimsel Sechot. No person can really understand the world to come, the world after death, the world of souls, because it's tied to our bodies. So we could say it's a world without a goof, but we can't really understand that. Yes. Okay. Right. Be judged in what sense? Right. Oh, I see. But you see, the Navi said, Yichah, for example, that he made faithful miracles not are in the flows. The miracles will come, I'll show you wonders, just like when you left Egypt. But it's not as if it's that miracle. In fact, Rabsandigon's point is that the miracle is even greater, because there's so much more written about it. If A, then, B squared. And now if A quadrupled, so B is exponential. That's the equation. Okay. Maybe if we're even lucky, we'll try to link the two also. We'll hear more and more about that. Let's look at the basic point. What's wrong if a person just says what he's going to do? That's a mindless too, by the way. We shouldn't trivialize it. You say what you're going to do. What's wrong with that? The expectation of the listener? Right. Yeah, but you know what? Here, look at it. It depends on the context. A person is going for a job interview, and the employer says, what can you do for me? And the fellow says, I can do X, Y, and Z. What does the employer want? Do X, Y, and Z. But at least do X, Y, and Z. Don't give me just X. You're going to do this or do it. If a person says, I'll do X, Y, and Z, and then he does X, Y, and Z, do you find any flaw in that? No. He did what he said he's going to do. That's honorable. What's that? Fail in advance. Right. Well, I guess you could say the one who just says, I'll do X, won't get a chance to do X, Y, and Z, won't get the job. Right? But obviously we're not talking in that context. What context are we talking in? Tzadikim omrim habei v'afilu ma'at, tzadikim omrim ma'at v'osim habei. Rishoyim omrim habei v'afilu ma'at enon osim. They don't even do a little. So why is that? So let me share an idea here from my Rabbi Shade. There's a certain mentality, there's a certain mindset of the omer habei, the person who speaks a lot, who's profligate in his speech. And that is the only value, or his primary value, the value that he cherishes, is perception, his appearance. That people will hear he's going to do this, X, Y, and Z, I'm going to make promises in abundance, that makes an impression on people. Most people, by the way, don't always know whether the promises were fulfilled. They just know that the promises were made. Note the uniqueness of the throne conduct here. A Russia? No, but every politician is Omer Havei, Afil Matein and Osa. That is true. A throne goes to the Sofman Havei. Where does this take place? The Sofman Havei, public. And note the phraseology the Torah uses in Prophet Yud. Vayan Efron achitiyas Avraham. Efron answers Avraham, but it's not a private conversation. It's v'oznei b'nei chayt. It's the ears of all the b'nei chayt. Look, not only them, l'chol bo'ei shariro. He had the loudspeaker system working. He's sending out emails of the offer he's making to Avraham. Lo adoni shmoini. Hasadena sati lo afumar sebe l'chon esatiyo. In the eyes of my people, in their view, right before them, I'm giving it to you. Kvar meisacho, the Avram bowed again. Pasuk Gimel, by the bell of throne, the ozneam haoretz way more. Now at this point, he doesn't even address Avram directly. Who's he speaking to? He's making a faux magnanimous offer to ozneam haoretz, to the ears, to his listeners, to the audience that he has. Rashi says, in fact, that he had become a melech, a sofet that day. He was elevated to prominence. Who is he speaking to? Everything is b'soch b'necheid, b'oznei b'necheid. Avram is sensitive to this. V'yishkol Avram le'fron ha'paket ha'vashed diber, b'oznei b'necheid. You know, all those phrases are really superfluous. Unless we recognize the Torah does not waste a word, and it's telling us something about Efron Achiti. Everything that Efron did was for public consumption. The perception mattered to him more than the reality. That's the bottom line. What others will think of what you're doing rather than what you're actually doing. That is the way of the Russia. For the tzaddik, ethics are not based on appearances, they're based on reality. The tzaddik doesn't need the human observer to provoke him to action. What motivates the tzaddik's action? Truth, reality, what's right. That's what motivates the tzaddik. Not what someone's going to say, what someone else is going to say. They do what's right. So for Ephron, everything was the sof b'nechei, v'oznei b'nechei, v'chol b'nei shariro. How people will look at him, that is going to determine his action. So in fact, Ephron is not attached to the inherent good. There's nothing that he does in this entire dialogue. It's the only connection we have to affirm to the whole Torah. There's nothing that happens here that happens outside the public domain. And for the Rasha, afilu ma'at einam osim, in the sense that once the impression has been made on other people, he's achieved his goal. Because the goal of the Rasha's kindness is not inherent, it's not to benefit the other. The goal is to make an impression on other people. So once he makes the impression, he has no more satisfaction from the action itself. That's why I feel ma'at ein emotion. They don't even do a little. That's the big talker. What we used to call in Texas, all hats and no cattle. They just speak. They want to make an impression on other people.
That's the money as well as part of it.
That's correct. Right. Well, no. But there are three groups here. There's the Nefes, there's the Amaret, the Council, and there's the Choba Ishari Ro, all the passers-by. The Bnei Chesed's family. Who's the Amaret? That's the Council. They don't apparently not involved in this. The Choba Ishari Ro, they're also not involved. The family, that's right. Comes to the family, they know about it. Comes to the Amaret, the Vadoir, or all the passers-by, the pedestrians witnessing this gracious act, the so-called gracious act, they're unaware of it. And not only are they unaware of the money, they're unaware of the extent of the swindle, because 400 shekel kesef, that was a fair price. 400 shekel kesef of vela sofer, that's not a fair price. That already is the swindle. But Avram did not want to negotiate because he was so valued Marcel Machpelo. And of course, what happens? Had he bargained? The handler. All right? Who looks bad? It's always the handler who looks bad. All right? Even if you're getting swindled, it doesn't matter. You look right here, someone, you want it? I'll give it. I'll sell it to you. You start haggling over price. It never looks good. So that was Ephraim. Everything that he did was determined by the perception of others. What's that?
No, it's the importance of the
same. Oh, good. We like to hear those things. That's right. Benid and Chomahi, between me and you. That's correct.
What about in the
Yeah, he acquired it. Everybody knew he acquired it. That's correct. They didn't know how he paid for it, what he paid for it. All they knew is Avram asked for this land, and the land became Avram. The fine print, as the exorbitant sum of money, that they're unaware of. Because that Ephraim, you know, that he had his ways about it. So the tzaddik, he doesn't relate to the speech at all. The tzaddik, everything relates totally to the deed, to the action. That's the true good. So the only speech the tzaddik uses is that speech which is necessary as a means to performance. That's a more ma'at. You can't say the tzaddik should say nothing, because you have to make the other aware, at least that you're in the realm of activity, you're going to do something. So only that speech which is necessary, and the Avin's case is very clear. Let me get a little bread, all right? Why do you have to say even that? Because Achar Tazaru, then you'll be able to leave. So I can't have our temple, so now this time you've come for this, so at least let me give you some bread so you'll stay a while. And then he gives them bread and other things in a way that they'll have to stay even much longer than that. For the tzaddik, it says, Yitach no matnayim, echot paslechem, and that's it. Because his point, like I said before, the seventh bracha, is to get them to stay. And then he fulfills this act of kindness to him. The tzaddik is never going to be at Omer Harbeh. Why? We asked before, why don't you just say what you're going to do? What's wrong with that? Because the Omer Harbeh is the person, the one who is attracted to self-aggrandizement, but more, it means he's attracted to the hechzer, to the antecedent, to the preparation, to what he's doing as well, and not from the mitzvah itself. Meaning if a person, look, in certain contexts, it's required too. Contract negotiation, for example. But if a person is going to say what he's going to do in the realm of chesed, and by the way, there's a more amount of chesed, only parts of chesed. If a person is going to say exactly what he's going to do, it means he's deriving hana'ah from the speech, and not just from the deed. And if he derives hana'ah from the speech, that already diminishes the purity of the chesed he's performing. So Avram spoke very quickly, and very sparingly, and then by my hair, Elba Kalruf, in terms of activity, Osar Bey. The activity was what moved Avraham, the virtue of the activity, and not discussing it. Ephraim is exactly opposite. What moved him? The eloquent speeches, ego, the loquaciousness, the notion everyone will recognize Ephraim, look, he's parting with this real estate in order to benefit another person. Yeah. That's correct. That's correct. They appreciate most of it, they don't know about it. But if they don't know about it, it's not just from the perspective of the recipient, it's from the perspective of the giver. The giver is attached to a different type of chesed if he just focuses on the deed and not on everything that's surrounding him. What's that? Yes, that's correct. That's correct. But the analogy would be a person tells others, "I'm going through the Rosh Hashanah." All right, that's the difference, as opposed to doing. Right. So that looks like that's why the members are more ma'arfa sarebe. It doesn't say, and more klum or sarebe. You tell them something. You got to tell them something. Tell them what they need to hear. It's also part of chesed. But not. Right. That's right. So we're not talking about the specifics of the chesed. We're talking about the mindset of the performer. That's what it is. In terms of the performer, so the Omer Harbe is one who's attracted to the aura, the perception others will have of them. That's the motivating force. That's the Omer Harbe, Asilu Ma'akin Osim, because the deed itself produces no satisfaction for the person. The satisfaction is others who hear about it. If others know about it, it makes no difference whether you did it or not. The fact that people know about it. And more about the Sarebe is exactly opposite. The focus. What's primary is the performance, is the deed. And that's what separates the Tzaddik from the Rasha. So what does all this have to do with Hazzavah? Yes. Okay. I'm glad you stayed to the end. So what does all this have to do with Hazzavah? That God promised us, Zon Anochi. All right, Zon! Two letters. I'll judge them. And then also, Motsin of Hazzavah Zonatuya. And what notice Rav Benyona ends, he says, based on the Sagidon said, the future even more, he says, Yesh lo adam lo dasu lo chasei b'davo. We have to know this. We have to consider it. Think about it. The law says has rebo, and take it to heart. Ki shachar gadol yeh lo m'dav tachar. So we have a great reward, a great shachar, because he's a tachar. And what's the shachar we're talking about here? In any event, what's the shachar? The greatest shachar is in Matan Torah, the world's greater than that. Greatest car than Yishas Oret. We have the Torah, we have the land, so we have the infrastructure on which we're to implement the laws of the Torah. What else is there in life? And if we're worthy, we have all our brothers. We've got a brother Jesus, the brother Himbuchu Goshai Tehleifu. So what more can they do? Which you have to understand something. What was the purpose? The God said, Zon Anochi. What was the purpose of all the nisim that he did? Why was all this necessary? The Torah makes that point several times in Shmos, in Vayera, and in Bo. In a nutshell, it's Vidatem, Pini Hashem Elokechem, HaMashiach, Samitachas, Avot Mitzrayim. The whole point of the nisim and Nisroch, the Mitzrayim, is to make us aware, make Mitzrayim aware as well. But to make us aware, being Vayera, Vidatem, you will know, you Klal Yisrael will know. Kini Hashem, Hamotzias Chamikach HaShivot Yisrael. You will know that I took you out. Anoch Hashem Alakecha, Asher Tashicha, Be'er Tishan, Lechem Adim. I am the God, I took you out of Egypt. The point of the Nisi, the open, manifest, blatant, explicit hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to make Klal Yisrael aware that God is the Klal Yisrael. In other words, the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the way it took place was a dramatic transformation in our consciousness. from a state of a lack of awareness of God, or maybe better said, a diminished awareness of God, to a profound awareness of God. So we went from being children of the other, never related to God, and the sign that people were not on that madrega. They went from the lowest level, 49th gate of impurity, to Maimon Har Sinai, to Atahara Shel Adas, Hashem Elokim. We went from a state of ignorance about God to a state of complete and total consciousness of God's existence in the world. If all Hashem said to us, strike that, if all Hashem said to Avram was Don Onosi, two Osios, and the result of that Don was an overwhelming awareness of God's existence, and this is what it's got to be understood. That lost in love, with all the prophecies of the Nevi'im, and all the accounts that we have of the future redemption, and the Nechamos, and Noach HaMashiach, and the new world order that will be created, how much more will be our awareness of God, our Das Hashem, so overpowering that we can even understand why our Bechira, our free choice, would be different. Rabban says it'll be completely different, like Adam before the faith, meaning that the reality of God, the reality of God's existence will be so strong that it's much more difficult to see. All right? Part of this idea is based on something that I chased that as well, part is not. But that's the point. That's the analogy that Rabbeinu Yonah is making. The purpose of the Nisim in Egypt was to give us an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If all God said it was done, and the result of that was Atzareisa Lagas, that our knowledge of God became so certain, so positive, so sure, that people were frightened at Maimon Har Sinai by God's appearance, Alachas Kama V'Kama, all the words of Nevi'im, promising, heralded what the future will offer, the future redemption, to God's existence will be that much more real, that much more tangible. And in fact, when the reality of God's presence is tangible and overwhelming, that means there's only one criterion for us to know, which is truth. Truth! What is the MS? Not what people say, not public perception, not can he do this or do that, if they go here or humble there, or the powerful. When the Amitas Hashem is so clear to all of us, then the only choice we have is to listen to what the Torah says, nothing else. That idea, the kernel of that idea, I would suggest, is really the analogy that Rabbeinu Yonah is making here for more Ma'at Vasei HaBeh. And more Ma'at Vasei HaBeh in our perspective in terms of Chesed. The more Ma'at Vasei HaBeh in terms of Baruch Hu is in terms of the Shema, in terms of God's appearance, God's existence, which becomes so real to us. That, in fact, is the premise of Tzadikim Omrim Ma'at Vosim HaBeh and Rishom Omrim HaRasim Ma'at Ener Vosim. Because when what is right matters more than anything else, then there'll be a new world. We'll be different to people, of course. If all our focus was on action and performance and chesed, and not achieving public acclaim and making an impression on people, and having this, look at this chesed, look at this chesed, but the focus is just on the chesed and not the pleasures of the ego, then we're different people. So too, when we become as thinking people, that's what he means. Zarech, Reifa Adam Ladatu, Lachashe Vedavar, Lelote Eslibo, Hargadu Yilam Zayavtacha. When a person starts contemplating what the idea of Geula means, the reality of God's existence, this overwhelming insertion of truth into the world, God's existence in a way which is clear and blatant to everyone, even more clear and more explicit than even if this Mitzrayim was, then God's existence becomes so overpowering that that's the new world. That means we're on the threshold of a new existence. We have a foretaste of that world when MS
becomes the guiding principle in life, when wisdom becomes the guiding principle in life, that's the vortex of that world where there's only one barometer for all our conduct, all our choices. What does the Kaddish Baruch Hu want from us? If that's not what people say, and this, that, what does the Kaddish Baruch Hu want from us? Ma Hashem Shel Me'im. What does God want from us? If that's our yardstick, and we see in terms of interpersonal relations, we're on a different level. In terms of the way you perceive the Kaddish Baruch Hu, L'chasei v'davo, L'vdas v'chah gadol, the chah gadol here is my next candy bar, the larger portion dessert. The chah gadol means the greater, the only reward we really seek is the greatest possible awareness of God. The Yidiyas Hashem on the highest level. That's the chah gadol. If that's the chah gadol, then we can achieve that chah gadol slowly, even in our world. When the Gula comes, and God's appearance is explicit to everyone, our Yidiyah will be that much greater, our choices that much more pristine, that much more pure, and our holiness on a much higher level. That is what's asked of us. On this level, it's asked of us in terms of chesed. But the level will be asked in terms of every choice that we make. Every choice is grounded in only one principle. In the Tzio Hashem, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shomeinu. Happen.
Sure.